Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Riders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we do. All the time.
Yeah.
Too many.
By the time recording, tomorrow's 420.
Oh, shit.
Blaze it. We should have a weed comic or something.
Are there weed comics?
Not really, but...
Yeah. I'm sure we could find one.
Or something psychedelic or something.
It's probably like an anthology for just weed.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But
we're not going to stop reading comics till we've read all of them.
Damn right.
That's our goal here.
Yeah. And then when we do that, we'll go into manga.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. That's the only time we're going to read manga is when we've read every comic.
And that's when Nathan will die, probably.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have time for manga until we've read every comic.
Yeah. We got time codes in our description. You can jump around, but we start with the news. Not a lot of news.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that went down
this week. Sequel for Godzilla vs. Kong has a new title. It's Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
So did they already X each other?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
They're doing more.
I didn't watch the first one.
Daniel, I know you've been just begging for a new Alpha Flight series from Marvel.
Have my prayers been answered?
Yes. Ed Brisson and Scott Godlewski. Do you know who that is?
I've never heard that name.
I know. I've seen his name. I've never tried to pronounce it until now. But they are Canada's premier super team, and they will reassemble to navigate the dark times that have befallen mutant kind in Fall of X. I guess there's like a whole Fall of X event going on. I don't know. I fell off of X-Men a long time ago with X of Swords, but there's a new event and Alpha Flight's coming in.
What's Alpha Flight?
They're Canadian superheroes.
So like Captain Canuck or
And Puck.
Oh right, yeah.
That little guy right here, his name is Puck.
Okay,
which is really mean to call him that. Also, Daniel, I know you've been wanting Nightcrawler.
Yeah,
but. What you didn't know you wanted is Nightcrawler as Spider-Man.
Okay.
So Nightcrawler is going to be Spider-Man. I don't know. In a series called Uncanny Spider-Man by Cy Spurrier and Lee Garbett.
Oh, cool.
I really like both of those people. So I was really surprised by this.
That's a cool team. Yeah.
But yeah. And so I don't know. It's Nightcrawler. It's definitely him being Spider-Man's, but I'm going to pick it up.
Oh, I did see that cover. I wasn't sure what it was for, though. He's got a tail? That's something.
Yeah, Nightcrawler has a tail.
I guess if he has the web shooters.
Look at the feet and shit, too. I don't think he would even have the web.
He doesn't in that? So he's just teleporting spider guy?
Yeah.
Because web shooters can go on anybody. He just wouldn't be able to crawl, I guess. But he doesn't need to crawl. Yeah, he needs to teleport.
Yeah, maybe he would have the...
He wouldn't need to swing either, so...
That's true.
There's really no point in him being Spider-Man.
I think a spider would be scarier if it could teleport, to be fair.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is a very random mix-up, but those are two names I'm big fans of, so I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah.
At least the first one.
Nathan, since there's not a lot of news, I'm going to tell you three facts, and one of them is actually news. The rest are lies.
So it's two lies and a truth.
Correct.
Okay.
But with comic book news.
Sure.
All right, one, Geoff Johns is going to Arizona Comic Con.
Whoa, okay.
Number two, the Doom Patrol show is coming back.
Okay.
For another season. Number three, Kick-Ass is getting a reboot on Netflix as a series.
Wow, all of those could be true.
Yeah.
I don't think Geoff Johns is coming.
Okay.
I think people will try and kill him because people hate him. For some reason, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's never tried to direct me in any movies, but
right.
Ray Fisher would have something else to say. Doom Patrol coming back.
That's
number two. And then number three is Kick-Ass being rebooted in a new movie or a series?
Series.
Comic book series.
No. Like show on Netflix.
Show on Netflix. Wow. I think Doom Patrol is coming back.
No. These are all lies.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, I wasn't particularly excited about any of them.
But that'd be pretty cool news.
If Geoff Johns did come, I would bring stuff for him to sign. I would try and get the Larfleeze holiday special.
Of course.
My favorite 24 pages of comics ever made. It was probably even bigger than that. But I saw I said Doom Patrol because I saw screenshots of Cyborg on Doom Patrol, like which was part of Titans. I don't think it was ever a part of Doom Patrol itself. Or no,
he was Cyborg? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Beast Boy.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe that was just like a new thing, but I guess it was not. You just lied to me.
Yeah, I sure did.
You just made up news. You Tucker Carlson'd.
It's really fun for me.
Yeah. Daniel, there's a new Moon Knight series called City of the Dead coming this July, and it's going to feature the all-new Scarlet Scarab, which is the girl in the show.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She's making her comics debut.
Oh, she wasn't in the comics before?
Loosely. Not that, like, superhero, though, I don't think. So, and it's apparently bold. It involves a runaway's soul at stake. So there's going to be some runaways in there.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
You think it's the dinosaur?
That would be cool. No, I think not. It's... Is there one with the staff?
It's been so long.
Okay. There's a runaway in Midnight Suns, and she has a staff, and I can't remember if she was a part of the original cast. I assume she is. Life news.
Okay.
I have a wreath outside of my house, and there's little birdies that got laid there, and they hatched this week. And so there's four...
The birdies got some action?
The birdies hatched from their eggs. There's five of them, I think. There's five eggs. I've only counted four so far, so there might be sad news for one of them. But, God, they're ugly.
They always look like they're yelling.
Yeah, they do. And I'm like... And I'm not hearing anything, and I'm like, Are they broken? Are they defective?
They're trying to get there. Maybe that's how they get their like vocal cords, is by just like yelling all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's kind of like tummy time for babies, so they can grow their neck muscles.
What? What's tummy time?
For babies, you have to put them on their tummy. Put them
on their stomach.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
It's called tummy time because it's alliteration.
Yeah, that's fun.
So let's get into the book.
Dan, what do we read this week?
Nathan, we read a Star Wars Legends series. After the acquisition by Disney, all of the Star Wars books that existed were renamed Star Wars Legends because they were not canon.
So this was not originally named Legends. It was just Star Wars Legacy?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is not canon, but we did read Star Wars Legacy.
Okay. I was trying to remember the name for the book because you said it last week and I was like, okay, Star Wars Legends. And I looked that up and I'm like, what are we doing?
There's so much stuff.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Read all of it?
And so then you were like, Star Wars Legacy Legends. And I'm like, okay, there's two L words in there.
Yeah. It's a little tough because, you know, Jedi Survivor is coming out probably around the time this drops and I'll be playing a lot of it. And so we just had to do a Star Wars comic. This is one of the ones that is not in canon that I've read that I thought would be fun.
We should do more Star Wars normal books, I feel like.
You don't like the Legends stuff?
I did not care for this.
Really?
But, Daniel, it's written by John Ostrander and Jan Dursema with pencils by Jan Dursema and Adam DeKraker.
John Ostrander is a name, right? He did like Suicide Squad?
He was the original creator of Suicide Squad, yeah.
Yeah, so how can you deny Mr. Ostrander?
I was like bored the whole time, kind of.
Bored?
There's some cool ideas in this, but I was like, there's nothing in here that makes me want to continue reading, you know?
Okay.
But what did you think?
I thought it was a lot of fun.
That's what I figured you'd think.
Like, it's just kind of funny to think about how the future could go for the Star Wars universe, you know, after episode 6, and just kind of like, you know, what happens in like politics and what Sith Lords are out there and what happens with the Jedi that we know and stuff like that, you know?
The gist is that it's all the same shit.
Not quite, but...
Okay, we'll talk about it, I guess.
You gotta admit this had some great coloring. I thought the coloring looked really cool.
Yeah, art-wise, pretty cool. I don't know if they designed some of the like stuff in here or like some new stuff,
the characters.
There's like new TIE fighters in here that look god awful.
I think I know what you're talking about.
But is Darth Talon a thing, like normally?
Yeah, Talon's like jumps around, I think,
like in normal continuity.
No.
Okay, because I saw pictures for like a Darth Talon cosplay like this week and I was like, pretty hot, so right? Random.
Yeah, no. So she was pretty big in like the Legends comic books. I don't think she's in canon currently.
Is she in like any TV shows or anything like that? I mean, most of those are in canon, so.
No, I guess she wouldn't be in like KOTOR or anything like that, but Mm-hmm. She is pretty popular in like the
cosplay realm.
Cosplay realm, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, I think art pretty good.
Yeah. There was like four pencilers, and I didn't pick up until about the middle. Like that, they weren't like just sharing pages. Like some were just doing different panels.
Is that why there's very distinct differences in style sometimes?
Yes, that would be a good explanation, huh?
Interesting. Because I noticed that, and I was like, this is weird.
It gets pencil-y. It gets like...
It goes from super inky to super inks, pencil-y right. on like close-ups. And I'm like, this is strange. But yeah. Anyway, let's get into it, Daniel.
A few things about this.
Okay, yeah.
It's just overall, like, lots of characters.
Tons. So, too many.
And they're all new characters.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a little...
I could take out four characters from this, and I think it'd be a little bit better.
Or... How about this? You can take four out and it'd be the same story.
Yes. Okay. But it'd be better because I would know what's going on a little bit better.
I think I still know what was going on, though.
I did, too. But there's four characters that you don't need.
These had some really dope covers because it was like just
Adam Hughes.
Yeah. There's people just standing. And I thought it was great.
Yeah. Honestly, we need to do that more.
Yeah.
It looks like a photo shoot, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is Vogue magazine right here.
Yeah. You know?
And I'm like, this is OK. All right.
So... This story has been collected in some big epic collection, and this is just like the first story arc that's in that, like the first 140 pages.
Yeah, which I skipped to the end after I read the six issues, to find the back matter.
Yeah.
And I caught like the end of like this epic collection.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing significant was really happening. So
it's because there's multiple of these epic collections,
which is insane.
Yeah, there's like three or four, I think.
Like, everybody is still alive. There's like one new character.
I flipped through one at a comic shop. It was like the second or third one, and Darth Talon was still in there. So
yeah, I flipped to the end. Crate's alive. Cade's alive. His buddies are alive. His mom's alive.
This is like...
That's all I got from it.
Normally ranked like number one when it comes to the legend stuff.
Yikes.
Right.
No, I thought it was... it's fine.
Like, I feel like there's definitely more popular stuff in like the books. But sure, as far as like comics, this is top-notch stuff, Nathan.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, let's get into the book.
It starts with a lot of exposition, but basically...
Should we read the scrolling?
No. Oh, no.
Okay.
There's a scroll. I do like that in comics, though. I like how they keep it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really look right on like a comic book page, but I like that they still try and stick to it. Basically, so like the gist is like it's like a century in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Empire is like still a thing, but not as big as normal.
Are you asking me?
Vaguely. Just stop me when I'm wrong, I guess.
So the Empire is there, but this time they had like teamed up with like the Sith, but trying to be good or something.
Are they not normally with the Sith? I guess not, right?
The Empire is not supposed to be like bad. That's what they're not trying to do, you know?
Okay.
Come on, just go ahead and read it.
Okay. What?
The scroll.
The scroll, okay. After the death of Emperor Palpatine, the defeated Imperial forces pulled back to their capital world, the planet Bastion, and called a truce with the New Republic. The Galactic Civil War was at last brought to an end, and peace flourished for decades. The Jedi, under Luke Skywalker, again became agents of peace across the galaxy. Boom. Sounds pretty cool. A race of extragalactic aliens. What does that mean?
Super galactic.
The Yuuzhan Vong shattered that peace by invading the galaxy, killed trillions, and devastating entire worlds. A galactic alliance of remaining systems, the Jedi and the Imperial Remnant, finally defeated the invaders, exiling them to the planet Zonama Sekot.
So the Imperials and the Jedi teamed up to fight the aliens.
Give me that. That's what I wanted to see.
That's a different book, Nathan.
We should have read that one. As a century passed, a new breed of evil Sith grew strong in hiding, led by Darth Krayt. Is that how you say it, I assume?
Yeah.
The Sith finally emerged and formed an alliance with the newly reforged Empire. Together, they manufactured an incident that sundered the Galactic Alliance and began a brutal new war. The Jedi alone remained to defy the Sith, and now they are few in number. This is just Star Wars, right?
Like, yeah.
However, the name Skywalker still burns among the Jedi 130 years after Luke Skywalker destroyed the first Death Star. His name remains a legacy of hope in a galaxy of darkness.
Okay, I guess you're right then.
So this is Star Wars, but later. History repeats itself, Daniel. If that's anything we've learned in school.
That's what episode 7 did too, you know? It was just episode 4.
Yeah. It repeats itself every 30 years or whatever that time jump was.
Yeah.
And every 100 years.
So these ships that you were talking about, the new TIE fighters.
Look like garbage.
They make no sense because of like the wind resistance. alone?
There's no wind resistance in space.
They're not in space. They're on a planet.
Well, that doesn't matter as much. They just look dumb.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet this week that was like, why are they called X-Wings and Y-Wings and A-Wings and B-Wings if there's no English in Star Wars? And I was like, fuck, you're right.
Why is it called the Millennium Falcon if they don't have falcons?
I don't think it's named after Falcon. It doesn't even look like a falcon, Daniel.
Yeah, it sure
does.
Next
question.
Why is it called blue milk? I'm just saying,
they
like
milk things.
But no, like, why do they call it like the Falcon if there's no falcons, you know?
You don't know that.
We haven't seen a falcon.
Exactly.
So you don't know that. They have anything called a falcon.
Anyway. Luke's son, we're getting into the book. Luke's son Cole is fighting off the Empire and a Sith named Darth Nihil. Sick name. And his son, Cade Skywalker. So two Skywalker people.
Mm-hmm.
Cole is dad, Cade is son. Cade's ordered to get the younglings away. Cade's like, no, I'm going to help you, dad. I'm going to make you proud. And then dad's like, what the fuck are you doing? You need to like leave. And he gets back to the ship with another Jedi and uses force electricity or something to force him back to life because he was about to die.
The
force defibrillator, new move. Cade's master got his arm chopped off. He wasn't looking too good. And then he defibbed him to life. But his dad dies and Cade gets shot down from his fighter ship thing because he was trying to go back and save his dad or whatever.
Dude, the new Sith designs are so metal.
Dude.
I love them.
They look like they would rock and roll all night and party every day.
Yeah, definitely.
He looks like Darth Kiss. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is a Kiss member, which is... So yeah. He does look really cool. They definitely upped their fashion, like, in a century.
Mm-hmm.
So I do enjoy a lot of these designs.
So it's not just, like, the tunics?
Yeah, it's not just, like, yeah, ponchos.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. I never thought about them using electricity to just defib someone. I think that's interesting.
Because that was the thing that, like, Anakin was always trying to, like, learn. But, like, he can, like, learn it in order to save, like, Padme.
Did he try?
No.
Or he was just, like, kind of putting his hands over her, right?
Yeah. And so...
he should have just used some electricity.
That just shows how powerful Cade is, you know?
I guess so. Or maybe he just got lucky.
He got really close to the dark side.
Maybe he's like, maybe I should use electricity for this one.
Yeah.
And it worked. Daniel, on Coruscant, the Sith have taken over. There's a new guy named Darth Krayt who took the throne and wants to eliminate anyone that's not loyal to his new... leadership. So he sends out his boys to kill non-loyals. Krayt also has some kind of a disease that's getting treated by Darth Wirlock.
I thought he was just like tired or something.
I think it's like a disease. I don't know. It seems like he's just got his dude to like pump him full of dark side or something. I don't know, but
pump me full of that dark side.
I need another hit. Darth Krayt looks super extra.
So sick. No, he's so dumb, but it's fun.
He just looks like
Guar.
No. Steppenwolf from Justice League.
Like, a little bit.
There's too much there, you know?
But he's definitely the scariest looking.
But I think he's compensating because he has like Star Wars cancer or something. So he's like, I got to look really scary because actually I'm really weak. And
The Jedi Temple like also fell. I guess it's kind of a given, but like...
Yeah, that sucks. Krayt has two different colored eyes.
For some reason.
Yeah, who knows why because he's evil. Issue 2... 7 years pass and the Jedi are like, damn, we should find Cade. We still need to find Cade so he could fix the Jedi. My take is you survive for 7 years. Why don't you just figure it out? You know, why don't you just do it? Why have they been looking for Cade for 7 years?
They need a Skywalker, I guess.
Give up after a year. Starts a new Jedi.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Cade is now in a group of bounty hunters hunting Jedi for money and they catch one that looks like a lion in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a fun idea, yeah. I guess.
He like abandoned his Jedi upbringing and then
to be edgy, to be a rebel.
Yeah, he's banging this pink chick just making some money.
Delilah Blue is her name. So
because her hair's blue, Nathan.
Yeah. What if she dyes her hair? Does she have to change her name? In the Adam Hughes cover, does Cade to you look like, what's his face? Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Yeah.
Did you think that too?
I didn't think about who he looked like, but then when you asked me, I'm like, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I would 100% be down if Aaron Taylor Johnson wants to do Star Wars.
Wars Legacy?
Yeah.
Would you go see a Star Wars Legacy movie?
I
would. Movie?
I'd be very excited because I think he'd be sick in Star Wars.
He's Cade Skywalker.
I would be excited about this story.
Yeah. And so, then it could be Sebastian Stan as like Cole Skywalker, like as he dies.
That would be pretty good. Yeah. I like that.
Be pretty lit.
So Darth Krayt appoints a new right hand named Darth Talon and orders her to find the daughter of the previous emperor that Krayt took over and kill her knight, I guess, that she has appointed to her, to draw her out, and also the former emperor Fel is his name. So there's a scene where Krayt orders Darth Talon to like kill her master, and she does it like so quick without even a like flinching. She just immediately kills him, which I think is pretty cool.
So evil.
Yeah. So and Daniel, they have some baddies in the future of Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Delia, Talon.
Yep.
Krayt. I'm just kidding.
All those spikes.
This lion character.
Yeah.
Which I think is just funny. And then, so do the Sith have like mind reading powers? Because there's a thing that happens where Talon goes. Yeah, Talon goes to kill the princess, the emperor princess knight. And she like does a thing to her, makes her eyes all bloody. And she's like, okay, I know where she is. Mara Saya is the person she's going after.
I mean, they're on like the same planet, but I don't know. Isn't that a thing?
It's like there's like a representation for using the Force in some way, which is like a disc around their hands. And then the next panel was her like eyes all bloody. And then Talon's like, Mara Saya is by herself and I need to get her father or something.
I thought she was just trying to like
crush her head, maybe
crush her head or something.
I don't know. Maybe she got, I don't know. I don't know what this is, but it seems weird that the first thing to do is to get the like bodyguard. I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't just towards her directly.
Maybe the bodyguard went to her, you know, to try and stop her, slow her down.
That's true. That's true. Issue 3, the Jedi that Cade captures almost escapes, but they get him and they get him to the bounty collector, who rewards Cade with Star Wars heroin, is what I call it, and money, but mostly like some drugs. And then Emperor Fel creates a loyal empire on the planet Bastion, and he makes the decision to not save his daughter for fear of it being a trap, which is a pretty cold move.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do nothing here. My hands are tied.
But the daughter also like understands that. Mm-hmm. Like that they're not supposed to find each other again, because then the Sith will just follow.
I don't think she knows it at this time, though.
Yeah, no, later.
I think she pieces it together later, but this guy is like, well, I hope she's fine. Mm.
I kind of wish there was like more choreography when it comes to like the fight scenes. Like there's not really, you can't like really make the motion in your head when you're looking at the panels. It's just kind of action shots mostly.
Yeah. I think other artists' rendition of like the lightsaber movement and stuff makes it a little bit easier to do that.
Yeah.
But I definitely think more space for fights would benefit this book a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because Star Wars action, I think, is so unique, mm-hmm. and you need to play into that a little bit. But yeah. Also at the same time, it's such a uniquely like cinematic kind of fighting style that it's kind of hard to make it look cool on comics. So maybe they just were trying to focus more on some of the ideas here.
Maybe they're limited in like page count too.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. And you know, he introduced 20 fucking characters in this, and so he has to give each of them panel time. So
yeah. I
don't know. Cade does Star Wars heroin, and then Luke Skywalker's like, no, as like a, he's like a force ghost, and he's like, no, stop doing Star Wars heroin.
I guess like the Star Wars heroin kind of helps make Luke's force ghost like go away.
It makes him numb to the force, so it makes his force ghost go away. Why is Luke Skywalker not like old? That's what my question is. I assume he got old.
Because, like, this is, like, prime.
Is it?
Probably.
When Obi-Wan is a force ghost, is that his prime?
True. No, he's, like, old.
Yeah.
But
I would assume
that was before they even, like, you know, brought back Mark Hamill as an old man, you know?
You don't need that to happen to make him an old man force ghost, you know? Like, I would assume the artist could, like,
probably
make him old and be like, this is me, Luke Skywalker. I got old before I died.
They probably just want to make it like abundantly clear who this is.
He could be like, hey, Cade, it's your grandfather, Luke. Luke Skywalker.
It's your pappy.
it's your pappy Skywalker. So yeah, I just had that question. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I even questioned. I was like, is that Luke? For like a couple of panels still.
Yeah.
And Cade's like, I want to do Star Wars heroine. It's what I like. And then Princess Mara Saya just happens to run into Cade's ship, and she has them save her from Darth Talon because she's being chased by her, and they save her, but the plan is to turn her in for a bounty.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a pretty penny attached to her head.
Well, no, they'll take her to her dad, and then they'll turn both of them in for a bounty.
Yeah, which is even better.
Yeah.
And I think that this is kind of interesting because I think there's a part of Cade, like fresh off of talking to Luke Skywalker, that wants to actually save this person, which I think is kind of interesting. But then he frames it to his bounty hunter buddy is like, oh, this will be good money.
Yeah.
And so I think I can kind of tell there's like a little bit of that in there, but he has to like come up with some explanation.
Because no shot, things just go well, you know?
Exactly.
So I have like two intentions. Yeah. Because he's like not like a bad person.
I think he might be.
He might be a bad person.
He's turning in Jedis, you know?
And they just get killed or tortured.
Yeah, most likely both. Delia Blue is definitely a simp for Cade.
Yeah.
Which is just a recurring thing throughout this whole time, and he just doesn't really care.
Or maybe his dick's like a magic wand, you know?
It could be, yeah. Got that force dick. Yeah, there's a couple panels in here where it goes from just fully inked panels to just like colored pencil looking stuff, and that throws me off every time.
I was like kind of used to it until I started to think about it more, and I was like, oh, because I thought it was more like close-ups that it happened, but then I just realized maybe a different artist did the close-ups.
That, yeah, that could be the case. It's just strange,
but you have to admit it's like pretty consistent as far as like what the characters look like.
Yeah, that is true. It almost just seems like the inker just would stop inking for like some pages.
Yeah,
and they're like, we need this now, and so he just turned it in. But it just seems weird that they wouldn't do that for everything, to make some sort of consistency, because I wouldn't have noticed if there were different artists per panel if the inking was all the same.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. Daniel, issue 4, part 4, I should say, Darth Krayt talks to other Sith Lords about Darth Bane for some reason. Who is Darth Bane, Daniel? Because I don't know. I hear his name and I don't know who he is.
I think he was in KOTOR.
Mm.
And he was just... I think I know him from having like a different like setup or whatever. Cause isn't that him like right in front of him with the metal mask?
Could be.
Oh, right now. But I know, what's his name?
No, this is Lord Andadu.
I know Darth Nihilus. He's cool.
He's in this book. Yeah.
Yeah. That not Darth Nil, Darth Nihilus.
Oh,
he's the one like in the middle here with like,
so there's a Darth Nihil and a Darth Nihilus.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's spelled the same way, so maybe there's a relation there.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're cousins.
Who are the Sith? What were the Sith called in the first Jedi Fallen Order? Were they were like the sisters?
It was just the...
Inquisitors.
Inquisitors.
Yes, okay, that was
cool. And then there was like seventh sister, ninth brother, and stuff like that.
I like them.
Yeah, no, they're cool.
Even their spinning lightsabers.
Yeah, those are the best.
They fly away like it's a helicopter.
But yeah, they're more in like the rest of like the Darth Vader run that mm-hmm. we read.
Because they were created by Charles Soule, right?
I think so. I know he created like the fourth sister or whatever.
Oh, okay.
That is in the game.
That's cool.
And so...
What a guy.
Yeah, so like there's... It's kind of left open to where like not all of them have showed up, I guess.
Hmm.
And so I don't know if he like invented the idea of the Inquisitors. I think that was already kind of a thing.
But oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty dense stuff.
Cade and his crew brings the Princess Marasaya to a planet where she regroups with Master Sazen, who's the guy whose arm got cut off and was revived by Cade. And he recognizes Cade and he's like, small galaxy.
So he had his arm cut off in the first issue, but he just rolls around with a nub. Like, yeah. No robot arm?
You know, you would think it's a century past the time when Luke Skywalker had a robot arm.
Yeah, you can probably grow a new one by now.
Maybe it's a... Yeah, that's a choice. That's a great point. It's definitely a choice for him. I never even thought about that. That's really funny. And then Darth Talon ambushes them. Cade uses the Force to throw a ship at Talon, and then they get away. Which is pretty big, because I'm pretty sure that his crew doesn't know that he's a Jedi, right?
No.
So he just like decides to use the Force in this instance. Marasaya has a lightsaber, and I'm very confused, because she's in part of the Empire.
Yeah, well, the Empire... that was where I got kind of confused. So there's like the Sith, red lightsabers.
Correct.
And then there's Imperial Knights, white lightsabers.
And she has a blue lightsaber.
Can't help She should have a white one.
She fucked it up. She grabbed the wrong one. She's force sensitive in some way, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
And so what I thought was cool is, like, I think this monster that, like, attacks them, I think that was in the second movie. Remember when they're, like, in that big, like, Coliseum thing?
Oh, yeah. Attack of the Clones?
This is the one that, like, Padme, like, rides. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the lizard one.
Kind of, yeah.
No, there's a lizard one which Obi-Wan rides. Yeah, no, I think you're totally right.
There you go. That guy?
That's definitely one of them, yeah.
Sick.
Well, they're not extinct in 100 years.
I'm such a nerd.
You are. I saw that and I was like, that's a pretty cool Star Wars monster.
Yeah, it's been used already.
Yeah, I guess so. That's why it's cool. Which is fine. Someone that's like a part of the crew now, it's like one of the missionaries, leaks their location to a servant of Darth Krayt. And so now the Empire is like on their way. Who the fuck are these people? There's a missionary and then there's a dude that missionary, I guess, is okay talking to. And he talks to Darth Krayt. We don't know anything about any of them. Really?
Who are you talking about? The blue guy?
This blue girl is talking to Eminence, is his name, which is a pretty cool name. But Eminence is a servant to Darth Krayt.
Okay, so, right. So Darth Krayt takes the Empire, but there's still, I don't think she knew that.
Okay.
And so there's still people that are there that were serving under Fel, but now serve under Krayt. And just kind of change their alliance. And so I have to prove to Krayt that they're loyal to him.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, I was like, I don't remember anyone fucking leaking it, but...
yeah, that's how they figure out where they are.
Yeah, not intentional.
So are we supposed to be on the side of, like, Mara Saya, who's, like, part of the Empire, necessarily? Because they're still, like, bad guys.
Well, I think the Empire had, like, good intentions. But, like, it's like the Sith.
But, like, in the way that, like, Hitler thinks he did?
No. Because they were teaming up with the Jedi at first.
Yeah. So, is he part of the generation of Empire that was kind of getting along with the Jedi?
Yeah.
Okay. So, they are a somewhat good Empire.
Yeah. They're just like the government.
And the Darth Krayt wants to throw back to Sidious days.
Right.
Is that how we're supposed to think of it? Because it felt weird. Like, kind of rooting for Mara Saya, knowing that she's, like, part of the Empire, you know?
She was just born in this life. She didn't choose it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, I can kind of get with that. It was just confusing because there's, like, two different empires now. So, Rowan Fell is like, no, don't go save my daughter to, like, his Imperial Knights. And then Sazen talks with Cade about him being alive. And then Cade's like, oh, after my ship exploded, I got picked up by some pirates. And I sold them some Jedi stuff, and now I was raised into this life. And then Cade gets into an argument with Sin, who's like, dude, you're a Jedi. Did you do any mind tricks on me? Which I feel like is totally valid. It would be super weird to live in a world where people could just fuck with your mind.
Right.
But then, so later, there's two Imperial fighters that fly in. They get shot down, but it turns out it's Rowan Fell's Imperial Knight dudes that came on their own to save Mara Saya because one of them's in love.
With the princess.
And he's like, I came for you despite your father telling me not to.
Yeah.
And there's a big fight with the Sith that apparently are there now. It was just Darth Talon for a little bit. And she's like, I found them. And then right after that, the Knights come in. And then it's like, oh, all of my Sith friends are here too.
Yeah.
And there's also some Jedis there too. There's like that Zero guy. There's Sazen. And then Cade picks up a lightsaber because Mara Saya gets something happens to her. It's a funny scene because there are Sith and Jedi's fighting and Cade like zones out. And I think he's thinking of the past or something. And Mara Saya like kicks him out of the way to save him from getting attacked. But like completely decks him with like kicking him out of the way.
Yeah.
Like he got absolutely blindsided in this like panel. And I guess somehow she gets hurt during that altercation, but we don't know how because it's just like the next panel, she's like falling down. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But there's a cool rematch between like Darth Nihil and the dude that got his arm cut off. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, because he's the one who did it, right?
Nihil is the one that cut off his arm, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, that was neat.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Cade picks up a lightsaber. Pretty cool. Daniel Part 6, last issue, Cade starts to fight Darth Nihil, who he's the one that also killed Cole Skywalker. And he's like, did I? He does like the Thanos. He's like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And
or like,
he's like, I killed a lot of guys.
Who's that other dude?
Ronan.
Yeah.
He's like, I killed a lot of guys. I don't remember. And then, so while Cade is fighting him, he's like, get everybody to the ship and then leave kind of deal. And like this whole like beginning sequence is like a couple pages, and everyone is just giving Cade shit about how he's not good enough to fight like Sith, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
And he's just catching strays this whole time. He's like, get everybody to the ship. And they're like, dude, you're not good enough. Like, I need to be here. Like, Sazen's like, you can't fight this guy. And then he goes to fight another Sith person. He's like, you are not good enough.
I like Darth Nihil's like super long hilt that he has.
Yeah.
I was like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. They should make more of those. It feels like a whole ass like
spear
or like katana or some shit.
Yeah. Or like a staff kind of thing.
A staff.
That just has like a lightsaber on the end.
Yeah. That I think is really unique design. Imagine if that was double sided. It would be
damn
impossible to use.
Just hitting on the ground consistently.
Yeah. So everyone gets on the ship and then they all manage to escape together. They set a course for Bastion, and Cade uses his force powers to heal Marisaya. But after he does that, he like has that orange eye thing going on after.
Yeah, where he's real like, close to the
he's real close the to the dark side. Yeah.
Dark side.
I wonder if there's like a canon explanation for why that happens. It's like with the orange eyes.
It's your soul getting dark.
I know it's like scary and like archetype stuff, but I want someone to like try and shoehorn an explanation where it's like oh, the midichlorians in your eyes start to die or something.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, it could be. Get me on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Marisai is back to life. And then on Bastion, Cade steals the ship from Sin and Blue after they get paid.
It was his ship.
Wasn't it Marisai's?
No, she's like a mechanic though.
Okay, she fixed that ship like tons of times, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like it's that, what's that metaphor thing where it's like if you replace every board on like a ship, is it still the same ship? It's basically, it should be Blue's ship.
Right.
At this point. Which I think is fucked up because he like sleeps with Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like gets up in the middle of the night and like leaves.
Smash and dash, dude.
He does. Yeah. Maybe this is, he does not care about her. And it is hysterical.
Yeah.
He does not feel any remorse. He's like, they'll be fine. And so I think that's fucked up. And then Darth Krayt is like, oh, there's a Skywalker and an Empire Rebellion on Bastion. And that's it.
And so, well, like the Darth Nihil tells Talon that she's probably going to die because she failed.
Yeah.
But Darth Krayt like decides to like let her live.
He's like, ooh, there's actually some tea here.
Yeah. So he's just like, go get Luke or whatever, or the Skywalker.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when Cade leaves Bastion, he also takes like the Jedi's with him, just like gives him a ride or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll kind of lead to them convincing him to take up the Jedi shit again or something like that.
Which makes sense. Also, if they're heading to Bastion, his friends are there. That's not a good situation.
Well, they left Bastion.
Well, Cade left Bastion, but Cade's friends are still there because he left them and stranded them there with no ship to get off.
Right. That was rude, but
it was super rude.
It's a Star Wars Irish goodbye.
Dude, it really is. Like, you're stranded on a planet. It's crazy.
So the thing that I thought was a little interesting about this is like, it's 130 years, you know, after 137, right, because there's the time jump.
Yeah.
After what anyone knew anything about like the Sith, you know? And so the thing is that with the Sith, there's something called the Rule of Two, where there's always like a master and then like an apprentice.
Right.
Because when there's more than that, then you have to like share like the dark side, like power basically.
Okay.
So when there's like 5 or 10 of them, like there is here, it like gets spread pretty thin.
It's very polyamorous of them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so but it's possible that they just like don't know that, like how that works.
The Rule of Two?
Yeah.
I guess.
And so they just think like, oh, more is better, but they're actually weakening themselves. I think Darth Crate will probably realize that or figure it out somehow, and then he will like get rid of his Star Wars cancer or like whatever sickness he has.
Oh, do you think that's why he has Star Wars cancer? But why wouldn't everybody else have Star Wars
potentially.
Cancer?
Potentially. You know, it's just like a theory.
Okay.
So stop attacking me. I'm not writing the next book, Nathan.
I don't know. I don't want to read it, so I don't really care. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Did you go to the Back Matters?
I did, yeah.
Is there good stuff there?
Daniel, there's actually some really good stuff.
Okay, what page is it?
It starts on page 441 of this epic collection.
Oh, shit, there it is.
It's kind of like just background. It feels like just an actual Star Wars encyclopedia.
It does look like that.
Which is kind of cool. So there's like initial concept art of everybody, or like the concepts of his gun that he has. He's got like a double-barreled shotgun thing. Or like the Minok.
Oh, it's like this is the Star Wars Legacy number 0. So this is actually like a whole issue that they released.
Oh.
Which is cool.
That's kind of cool then. Yeah, it just kind of has in like descriptions of all the characters. So Delia Blue, Jiraiya Sin, who are the bounty hunter people. Cole Skywalker, what he's up to. Some of the Jedi that are in here. There's a dude named Shadow. I don't understand why he's in the story at all at any point.
Well, he's a Jedi.
He is a Jedi.
And then he's also but brothers just, with like the handmaiden or whatever for the princess.
Don't care.
Pretty cool.
Don't care about him.
Pretty sick.
You could have just kept Sazen in there, and I think that's enough because he was like the master.
He is definitely one to cut for sure.
Shadow?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It gives some history on like what's been going on with Coruscant, which is pretty cool. A lot of these like concept images are super cool too.
Yeah, super sick. There was something about how the moon of Coruscant was like destroyed, and then Coruscant itself was taken out of orbit.
I don't think that works like that.
That's what they said, Nathan.
If our moon was destroyed, we would be fine.
But also taken out of orbit?
I don't think so.
A little fucked?
The moon orbits us.
Right. No. They were taken out of like their sun's orbit.
Yeah. How does that happen?
The force.
Who pushed them?
The force users, the Sith maybe, or maybe those extraterrestrials did it.
Oh, the extra galaxial people?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't come up at all in the story, right?
Maybe they will.
I don't care.
Keep reading it.
There's some Darth Talon. There's some Darth Nile. He looks really cool.
Look at this hot Jabba, dude.
Yeah, there's a hut in here, but we don't see her in the story. I think she's part of the other 300 pages of the collection.
Man, I'm gonna have to keep reading.
Some Darth Crate. Yeah, she's wearing like a bikini, which is weird. Some Darth Crate stuff.
Oh, dude, there's a fucking Wookiee, man. I'm gonna keep reading.
Okay, you could do that. Let me know how it goes. And then all the like Darth people, so Wirlock, Malati, the Imperial Knights, the Fells, and then some of the ships and stuff. There's some really cool concept designs for ships. There's like a Super Star Destroyer, and it's just a little bit more angled. It looks like a paper airplane, but I guess it's like a new edition.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so just like pretty good Star Wars encyclopedic stuff. I think they did that pretty well, and that's pretty much it. Oh, and then at the very very end, it's all of the people that are standing in all the covers, but combined together. And they like overlap too, which I think is kind of cool.
That's pretty sick.
Because there's a lot of connected covers that look a little funky because it's very clear that they were covers like separately. This one, they're all overlaid over each other and it looks like a cool big family photo. So
yeah,
I like this.
This is sick.
But yeah, that's Star Wars Legacy Legends. What did you think of it? Well, how would you rate this? I mean,
you know, I didn't even think about the rating, honestly. I give it like a love it of like, I almost want to say like Vanilla Bean or something. Not because it's a vanilla book, but because like that's a little bit different than vanilla, you know?
Sure.
So it's like, it's kind of what you know, a little different, good toppings and stuff. Oreos probably.
Sure.
So I give it a coffee flavor, you know?
Okay.
And the love it. Yeah. Delicious. Not for everybody, but I love it.
Yeah, it was not really for me. I feel like I just want something that's better, more interesting. Because this is just there's ideas in here that I think are interesting enough.
Sure.
Like Cade being a bounty hunter because he's doing Star Wars heroin and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine. But like, there being just like another empire 100 years later is not interesting enough for me for like a setting for like a Star Wars thing.
So what should have there been?
I don't know.
Like, what would you change that to?
Like, just don't have like an empire, I guess. And maybe just have like a Sith trying to make more Sith or something. But don't call it like
the That's empire. Just the original trilogy then.
Like, I guess. I don't
know. It's just new separatists.
Or maybe just like don't make it about an intergalactic war at all.
Star Wars. You just said the name differently.
Don't make it about a Star War, okay? I don't know. I don't know what it was about it, but I was like reading it. And every time I read and consume something Star Wars, it just, I feel like my love of Star Wars just goes down a little bit every single time. And it's crazy because I do like Star Wars.
I mean, it's probably clear.
Like, nothing has like increased the Star Wars enjoyment for me, I feel like.
Are you crying?
No, I just yawned.
Are you that sad? Your love of Star Wars is like slowly dying as you get older?
No, I'm not crying, but like,
I thought this was like fun enough, you know?
This is fine.
But there's probably a reason that these are considered legends now, you know?
Yeah, which I don't even really care about that. I'm cool with like Star Wars what if stories.
Yeah.
I just felt like this one was not creative enough necessarily. Sure,
okay.
Like the idea of like Skywalker's grandson being maybe not like the perfect Jedi is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Him being a bounty hunter is pretty fun. I maybe would have just liked more bounty hunter stuff maybe.
Yeah.
And then a more prevalent cause for him to, you know, find the force. I don't know, something like that. But
sure.
There's just like a lot of characters in here too. So if I'm going to rate it, I'm going to rate it a blue milk from Galaxy's Edge, because like you get it because you want to do a Star Wars thing. It's not very good though, let's be honest. So it's like, I'm gonna do the Star Wars thing,
no one,
and
just
drink a blue milk.
No one just likes it, but for the taste.
No one's going to Disneyland, it's like, man, I can't fucking wait for the blue milk.
Yeah,
you know? It's just something that you get.
Yeah, like if they had that somewhere else, you wouldn't get it, you know?
Exactly.
Call something else.
Yeah, exactly. You don't seek that out. It's just in front of you, and so you get it.
Yeah, the novelty of it.
And your brother forces you to drink it.
I didn't force you to do shit.
You forced me to drink this blue milk, which is Star Wars Legacy Legends.
More things, you know, ready to go when we're...
Well, I have one this time. So we'll get there when we get there.
Is it Guardians?
No. Is that what we should be reading next, though? Is like a Guardians thing? Oh, okay. Well, the next time we need something, I got something.
Okay.
Dan, let's go to the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
This is where we talk about what's in our boxes in the comic shop. Dan, what's in your box this week?
I think it's just World Finest 15.
14?
15?
Is it 15? Okay, I wrote 14, but it's probably wrong.
And that's it, yeah. I didn't even go.
I picked that up. I picked up Punisher, number 11.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm only picking up two things. And so I was just looking around.
You picked up a trade.
I always flirt with the idea of just like seeing what number ones are there. See if I recognize any of the names. You know, if I don't recognize the name, flip through it. See if I like the art.
Okay, so know. New books, not just like...
And I'm trying not to get as many number ones, but I'm such a slut for number ones, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. You're a dirty girl.
And I didn't get a new series, but there was a one-shot that DC came out with called Silent Tales.
Oh.
And it's from a cartoonist named Gustavo Duarte, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
And they are six, like, individual silent stories that are, like, written. I don't know what you'd call it, but, like, the story and the art is all by him, and they were pretty fun.
Nice.
So I liked that a lot. They're just like silly little stories about like one of them's Harley Quinn going to like a hardware store so that she can create her famous like huge hammer, and then later she like robs that store.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, just like random things like that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was delightful. I think he has really creative storytelling, and I'm like, damn, he like covers a lot in like six pages or whatever it is, and he doesn't use a single word, and I'm like, there are some books that could just use less words, you know?
Absolutely.
So I thought that was pretty delightful. But those are the three things I picked up, and I just read Silent Tales and the new Ambassador number 2 that came out last week.
Cool.
That's all I've read. Have you read number 1 of that yet?
No.
Okay, I read number two. It's not Quietly. I think we knew that, but I was still sad.
Yeah.
That it's not him. I think
he's just doing the covers, right?
He's doing the covers, the first issue. Actually, the cover that I got wasn't Frank, but he could be doing covers. I just missed it.
Was it?
But each like one.
All different artists?
It's all different artists, I'm pretty sure.
So each issue is a different artist because there's only like six in that, right?
Six probably makes sense. And I think each one from here is like a different person that's getting in power. And it's so drastically different mood wise, I feel like, from the Frank Quietly issue.
Okay.
But still really good.
Okay.
And I think the artist is like amazing. You know, I don't know why I was like more Frank, you know,
you just didn't know,
which is unfair.
Did you know who it was?
No, I couldn't recall what it is off the top of my head, but
that's cool.
Really good artist, just different style.
Yeah.
And the writing clearly reflects the style, I think, but I'm interested in where it goes. For sure.
Right.
So I've actually added that to like my pull list.
Nice.
So I haven't done that for a new series in a while, but
I read Berserk. More Berserk.
The manga.
The
big old hardcover.
Yes. From the deluxe volume that I got. I got four of those for my birthday.
How many pages are those each, roughly?
Like 600?
Wow.
Yeah.
It takes you like 20 minutes to get through each one.
No, I think I've read for about like half an hour and got through about 200.
Okay.
And so, dude, that is like first class reading. Like, as far as like reading a manga.
Like it's pretty premium.
Premium, yeah. Pages are really nice. Pages are huge, right?
Oh, like the
experience
itself.
The printing and just the experience, because normally it comes in like the very small ones manga, which is fine. And very affordable, but just like in the deluxe is like just makes the whole experience a lot better. Okay. Nothing's lost in like the crack, in the
fold,
in
the crack of the comic.
Yeah. And so it's just very nice.
Cool.
And I'm really enjoying it.
Nice. Is that all you've been focusing on?
No, I've read Batman Killing Time number 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. Almost done with that. I wonder if Tom King would have done these other Batman books that he's been writing in his Batman run, if he kept on it, you know, if they didn't take him off it.
I'm sure the Batman Catwoman series.
Yeah, that was like definitely.
That seems like it would have definitely been in his like normal Batman run.
Right.
But Killing Time might have just fallen on his lap.
I think that's out of continuity, technically.
It seems like it would be. Because it's not like present day Batman, if anything, you know.
Right. But anyway, I like it. It's good. I'm going to finish it, but.
Okay.
I also read 8 Billion Genies.
Number 8?
Yeah, number 8.
Oh, cool. That's like on the top to like read next.
Really? I went to the store on Wednesday to read that, like as soon as possible.
Cool.
Because I had to know how it ended.
Did you like it?
You just read it.
Okay, I will read it and we will talk.
Also read Way of the House Husband, which is a manga.
Yep.
Chip Zdarsky recommended it to us a while ago.
Yep.
I think I'd read a little bit of it or something, or maybe watched like the anime. And super good book. It's about a retired Yakuza member who becomes a stay-at-home dad.
And, I love that.
Or stay-at-home husband. Mm-hmm. And he like learns to cook. He goes to like cooking classes and stuff.
Oh, I mean, he's really good at cooking.
Yeah, pretty good. He like starts to get like recognized by like other people, like in the Yakuza or like police officers, just doing his like normal day to day. But he like takes being a house husband at the same intensity of being a Yakuza member.
Like, so he's just like viciously vacuuming and stuff.
Yeah, like he went to go get like an anime for like his wife as like a birthday gift. And she's like, oh, I actually have this one already. She's like, and he's like, I'll be punished. And he puts his hand on the table and like goes to chop off his finger.
That's awesome.
But she stops him.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny. It's like, I think like literally like anybody could read this and like enjoy it.
Okay. Cause
like the comic relief and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That one's kind of cool. I don't have the physical, but that book's like a little bit bigger than a normal manga.
Nice.
And this one had like a cat issue that was silent, and it was just his cat walking around doing shit.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
I love silent books.
Yeah. A silent pet issue. We love it.
Like Hawkeye, but the dog.
Yeah. Did you read anything else?
That was all that I read.
Did you watch anything?
Just Mandalorian, I think, this week.
Yeah, man. Did you watch last week's episode?
I watched last week's episode. The finale is out as of recording, but I haven't gotten the chance to.
Is it the finale?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This last one was really fucking good, though.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So spoilers, maybe, I guess.
Maybe the best episode of this season.
It was cool just seeing them all go do something, you know?
Yeah.
It was weird that there are Mandalorians on Mandalore still. And I think just that makes riding sense. Around in like a pirate ship. It does make sense.
That was a cool ship.
I was like, what the fuck is it? Like, what happens when they hit a mountain? They just got to go around it, I guess.
Probably. Did you recognize any of those?
No.
So one of them was Skinny Pete from Breaking Bad.
Really?
Yeah, the actor. Yeah.
Whoa, that's cool.
I was like, oh, good for him.
Yeah. More Breaking Bad people in Mandalorian.
Yeah. We already got like two of them.
We got Gus.
Do we need fucking Lalo in like the Mandalorian?
Yeah,
that'd be so sick.
That would be, he'd be pretty menacing.
Or fucking Mike, that would go so hard.
Oh, dude, imagine him as like a Jedi
or like a grumpy Mandalorian,
or he's just like a barkeep.
Exactly,
a grumpy Mandalorian. Yeah,
but
yeah, that it was cool seeing like the Mandalore or like the Beskar stormtroopers. I was like, this is a fun idea.
Yeah, dude, those stormtroopers are fucking sick.
Design was really cool. The fight did not feel very cool because it was just a bunch of people shooting at each other, and they're like, we're all just invulnerable, so like, what are we doing here?
And all of their shit just bounces off.
Yeah, and then there were people getting kicked off like the edge of the cliff or whatever.
Yeah,
they flew up there. You have a jetpack, you're fine, right?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Well, maybe like if you're falling like down, you can't like really catch yourself, you know?
True,
because it only shoots one way.
Yeah, they should teach you how to like fall and like correct yourself.
That would be a good
skill to have.
Good skill. But Moff Gideon's back, Nathan.
Yeah, he's back.
He's alive and well.
He's badder than ever. He talked about the blue guy.
Oh,
don't tell me. Starts with, what does it start with?
T.
Talon. Thrawn.
Yeah. And so this will lead into Ahsoka.
Yeah. There's a Thrawn comic, isn't there? We should read that one.
So the Thrawn comic is a comic adaptation of the Thrawn book.
Sweet.
So it's dense, like a book. Oof. Like, maybe I have it, then. And I only made it like two issues because I'm like, you know.
Okay, maybe not then. Is there an Ahsoka thing?
Ahsoka book?
Yeah.
Probably.
There's probably one out there.
We can just like make an excuse just to read a Star Wars thing.
Okay, I picked the next Star Wars thing.
Okay, fine. We can read the fucking...
We read the
Chewbacca book.
Oh, that sounds good.
Or there's one... There's a Lando one by Charles Soule. The Lando that one. Was really popular.
That was supposed to be pretty good, yeah.
There's a lot of good shit out there.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, Moff Gideon's back. I was like, damn, they really just got trapped by like those two doors. And like, I could see that shit happening too. It was like a good way for them to like get trapped because I'm like, oh, damn, there's so many doors in Star Wars, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, Moff Gideon was like walking through those laser doors.
Oh, yeah. From like,
and
the
I was
first
like,
one.
Damn, I haven't seen that since the first like Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I've seen that since like before, like 30 years before the Battle of Yavin or something.
Yeah, yeah. Which I was like, okay, cool. And I like the idea that he's just been low-key building some Empire stuff on Mandalore because they all thought that shit was like uninhabitable.
I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah. You didn't? Are you saying that sarcastically? Okay. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And then fucking Paz... What's his name? Paz Vizslav, the big guy with the big fucking gun.
Yeah, the minigun dude.
Yeah, he was the coolest one.
Oh, definitely.
How does he get around?
He sacrificed himself, Nathan.
Because this is the way.
This is the way.
That was sick. I was really sad, actually.
I broke my heart. Yeah.
It did.
I liked that. Okay, one thing I did like about his death is that his like gun like overheated. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, this dude just...
It like started fucking melting because it's like, yes, that would happen.
It also sucks because he's got like a son.
Yeah.
They fought like
he's like the only one that has a son.
He fought a dragon to like save his son, and he's like, well, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's with the Mandalorians.
I'm not looking forward to seeing his son's reaction to that.
Yeah, me neither.
Because it's gonna break me.
So
at least you don't want to just see like his crying like inside his helmet.
There's just like tears that come down. Yeah.
And the Praetorian guards were kind of cool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't like how they just had like Mando helmets. I don't like that Moff Gideon has a Mando helmet now.
I do.
With the horns.
It's got like Dathomir horn.
Have you seen those like any like theories about that last episode?
No, I don't really watch those.
So I just saw one and I skipped it because I hadn't seen that episode yet. But you notice how like the welder like took all the
Armor?
The armor. Yeah, that's it. Armor took all like the injured up to like the ship.
Yeah.
Before they went into
She's a double crosser.
And see how she has like the horns, same as Moff Gideon?
That would be so stupid. It's like, oh, it's in front of us the whole time.
They're together. They're fucking.
Oh my God.
But
I figured that
that's the only bit that I saw. There might be more to that, but just the fact that she knew before they left.
Yeah, it felt like they were building up because she's like flying through clouds and shit. And I'm like, oh, as soon as she hits space, there's going to be like a Star Destroyer there.
Or
like,
right. Yeah, that's what I thought
like,
too.
It's so obvious. And then there wasn't. It was just like the normal ship. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then all the Empire stuff was down in Mandalore. So it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to see where what happens. Oh,
what's up with that vibrating knife?
Yeah, that shit's weird. I don't know why he thinks that shit's cool because it's not.
I mean, if you get stabbed with that, it would still hurt.
It'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
What's up with the IG-12? How is he operating that thing?
Buttons.
Dude, they're playing Star Wars chess or whatever. And then like there's two knobs. There's two like sticks.
Yeah.
But he's able to control like walking and like crouching because he crouches under the little door that Bo-Katan cuts.
Saying right? Yes and no.
Saying yes and no. And he does this to like break up the fight. The chess fight. And so I'm like, how granular are these controls? Because he's pretty good. Cramped in there, it seems.
Yeah.
So
I think his ears just make it seem that way, but it's actually like a perfect fit.
It probably is. Is it Taika Waititi that's still voicing the yes and no's?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He probably just went in for like a
phone call, really.
It's 10 minutes. Like yes.
They probably called him, like Taika Waititi, to ask him purposeful, like, yes and no questions and just recorded that. And then they took it. Because that's what
Can
I
you be
would
less
have
excited when you answer that? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited for the finale.
Cool, cool.
Did you watch anything?
Yeah, I watched this movie called X, Nathan.
Talk about it in detail.
It's directed by Ty West. It's this is a A24 movie. It was made for about $1 million. I think it made like 135 million, which is pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Considering.
Oh, I watched Mario. We could talk about that. I just
right.
Anyway.
So with X, this is a movie that was cool because it was made in 2022 and they filmed the sequel back to back. With it, and that's called Pearl. That also came out in 2022.
It's not called Y?
No.
Okay.
And so this one is kind of cool because Kid Cudi's in it. So it's kind
of cool.
Just kind of like random. And then like,
what's it about?
Who's that? Ortega?
Jenna Ortega?
Jenna Ortega's in it. She and stuff like that. So it's about these.
Is this before Friday or Wednesday? Sorry.
Yes, before Wednesday, but like not by a lot.
Okay.
So it's about some strippers.
Okay, good.
That are, you know, with their boyfriends and whatnot, and they're going to go shoot like a porno. And this is like in the late 70s, right before VHS is about to take off.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like, oh, we need to make this really good movie. And they'll be rich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to some old dude's farm to like rent it out and shoot there. It was called like the farmer's daughters or whatever.
Okay.
But like the old dude didn't know what they were doing there.
He just let them use the space for whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they had to like shoot in like secret a little bit. But so the farmer's like wife, the old man's like wife is like kind of like confused.
Mm-hmm.
And she like,
it's so good at explaining movies.
Dude. You know, I'm not really going to explain it because there was quite a bit to it.
Sure.
It was only like an hour and a half, but it was like really good. It was just kind of like a classic like slasher, you know, which
I didn't anticipate that based off what you've told me so far.
But. Yeah, no, it's the motivations were like pretty clear and it was just like, it was just really cool like how it all played out.
Right.
And I love when like a horror movie is like good on like a low budget because it just shows like what you actually need for certain things.
That's always kind of cool.
Yeah. And so I just love a kind of like a classic slasher and not like, you know, Scream 5 or whatever, just something like new.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing that's like tacky, I guess. And so, yeah, it was a good movie.
Nice.
And so I'll probably watch the prequel. It's called Pearl. And then I think the...
Is it good enough to have a prequel, you think?
Yes.
Wait, it came out in 2022 and there's a follow-up movie already?
The prequel also came out in 2022.
Both movies came out in 2022.
Yeah.
What?
That's what's cool about it.
That seems fiscally irresponsible.
It was fiscally a success.
Cool.
And the sequel, it's called Maxine, will come out this year, I think.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Do they all have Kid Cudi in them?
No, because the prequel is like of like 60 years prior to X.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so, I can explain this after thinking about it a little bit.
Okay, great.
So the old lady that's there, she's having these like intimacy issues with her husband. Mm-hmm. Her husband's really old and his like heart really can't take any kind of intimate interactions anymore. So she's like become like very like jealous of like all these people.
That
all
can
these,
fuck?
Yeah, that can fuck. And all the, you know, strippers walking around and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so she kind of thinks that like they're almost like taunting her husband. And so she gets like jealous and just starts killing people like in this crew. The hot people.
Okay. Right?
But
hot boys and girls?
Hot boys and girls.
Wow.
It's just Kid Cudi. That's a hot boy.
Okay.
And so for 90% of the movie, the husband's like, I can't find my wife. Like, have you seen her? And then is just kind of like leading them on. But actually, he's helping kill the people because this old lady's just been killing people like for years, apparently.
Oh, that sucks.
Right. And so they kind of just lure people in and then like end up killing him. And so he's just being supportive of her homicidal shit. And so
that's good of him.
Yeah.
To always support your wife and whatever she's doing.
they don't get away with it. And then the main character like ends up like living and escaping.
Hmm.
Her name is Maxine and the sequel will be about her.
Gotcha.
So, well, another cool thing about it, the main character is Mia Goth. She also played like the old woman, and the old woman's name is Pearl. And so Pearl is what the prequel will be.
Mia Goth is the actor?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen her.
Yeah.
I think she's really just in this.
No, I've seen her places. I don't know what it is, but okay. Crazy.
Yeah, and so because she played the old woman and Maxine in this, she plays Pearl like in the prequel.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And so she plays like a really good like old woman. Like you have no fucking clue. Like I had to tell Sarah. I'm like, that's like her.
She was in three movies in 2022.
What else?
X, Pearl, and The House.
The House. Hmm. Never heard of it.
But that sounds interesting. But
yeah, no, it was cool. And the 70s kind of like vibe was cool. And so, and yeah, and this is like by a director who's been like directing movies, like horror movies for like 20 years. All like
okay.
Really low budget indie films. And so it's just, I like that he like got a win.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
neat.
Good
stuff. I saw Mario.
Mario, how was that?
Less slasher.
Damn. Not interested.
Still pretty good, you know? I think there's some criticisms of it.
What was bad about it? Or what
people are saying that the pacing's pretty fast.
Okay.
And I only agree with that for like the first part of the first act.
Okay.
The rest of it seems like it goes at a regular-ish speed, I guess.
Okay.
I think people are critical of like how he meets everybody. And how Mario's the one doing everything, which is also fair.
Do they have an origin of how they normally meet?
I don't know what it is.
They just kind of all show up
in
a game.
In this story, he's like a normal guy in like Brooklyn. And he's like, he's got a plumbing company. And then he finds himself in Mushroom Land or Mushroom Kingdom or whatever. And so
like,
he has to like meet everybody.
He's not like live action Chris Pratt in Brooklyn.
That would be really funny. But he's like got a plunger and shit with Charlie Day. Yeah, there's definitely some parts of the world that are unexplained, but I don't care about that.
Right.
And the animation is unbelievable.
Okay. Did you have a good time, Nathan?
I had a great time.
Did it fall short? I don't know. I mean, like, was there something missing?
Yes.
Okay.
The thing that's missing, which is insane to me, is that there are Goombas in this and not a single Goomba gets stomped on. Which is crazy, right?
I agree.
Because it's like Mario. What does Mario do? The first thing he ever does when he encounters a creature It's a Goomba, and he stomps
on it. Jumps on their ass.
Yeah. And there's not even really like Goombas just like walking around. The only Goomba you see is in a cage. So I'm like, this is weird. It's fine. There's a lot of like Mario lore to like touch on. And I think they touched on a lot, like Donkey Kong's family and like Mario Kart and like, you know, all sorts of things that they managed to like fit into the movie. And so I'm like, okay, this is kind of fun. They did like orchestral scores of like classic Mario songs.
Nice.
So like,
you have to.
Yeah. Some people are critical of like when there's normal licensed music, it's like really cheap, which is fair.
Oh, okay.
There's like No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Classic.
Which is...
Is that cheap?
It's cheap because he's just in Brooklyn and they needed something, a song that said Brooklyn, I think.
What other Brooklyn songs are there?
Well, I think it's just like
be the number another one Brooklyn song,
you know, that is supposed to be like a, you know, compilation song or whatever. There's like, I Need a Hero, or We Need a Hero, something that whatever that song is, the Shrek, okay. From Shrek.
Yeah.
There's like a couple songs that are just like, just like, put something there, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot of thought. But I did love like the orchestral score of all the Mario stuff because it's fun. No Yoshi.
Were there any like voice acting performances that you didn't like?
I think my theory is that they made Chris Pratt seem like a big fucking shitter so that when you get in the movie, you settle into like what his Mario voice is a little bit better. So like I just forgot that it was like whatever, like a different voice. Okay. Part of the way through. So he did fine. Like, it was serviceable. He probably could have gotten Charles Martinet to do it. Who's in this movie? Who's the original, like, Mario voice?
Right.
So I'm glad he's, like, at least in the movie.
What's he doing in the movie?
He's just some dude that says Wahoo in the Mario way.
Oh, okay.
He's like a grandpa or something of Mario.
That's cool.
But voice acting performances, I think Donkey Kong is a little distracting just because it is Seth Rogen and he does the Seth Rogen laugh.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about who voices Donkey Kong, you know? Like, I think everybody was fine.
Yeah.
Jack Black does carry, obviously.
Hmm.
But really good overall. Like, I think pretty fun, like, action, I guess. The story was, like, pretty solid. But just, like, the whole world is unbelievable. So they, like, really went all out with some of this animation and, like, environment and stuff.
For sure.
So pretty cool. Nice. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I assume they'll make some other Nintendo movie with like Illumination or something. I just don't know what that would be because they seem to wrap everything up pretty well, I guess.
Smash Bros.
I would love that. Like,
like lend itself to be some sort of narrative?
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. Okay. There's like a general like lore
there's
for
no
Smash
campaign
Bros.
Campaign in
yeah,
Smash.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to fight Mr. Game & Watch by the end. So you could do, I think it would be cool if they did more Nintendo movies, like do like a Zelda one or do like a Samus one. I think that one would be really cool.
Super hard.
Oh, dude, there's Dry Bones in the Mario movie.
Nice.
Who's like, and Shy Guys, who are like some of my favorite Nintendo people because they're just weird. But like, there's like a Dry Bones sequence where there's like a bunch of them. And I'm like, this is kind of freaky. I was like kind of surprised.
Which one is Dry Bones again?
He's like Yoshi, but he's just bones.
Right, right. Okay.
And there's a scene where Luigi's getting chased by like a million of them. And he like accidentally like breaks one of them. And then you see it like reanimate. And it's like all like fucking like creaky and like weird and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was a little fucked up for like a kid's movie or whatever this was supposed to be, which is like totally comforting, I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see them doing like a Smash Bros. If they do more like Nintendo properties. Because there's a lot there you could probably work with.
For sure.
So yeah, I liked it. I recommend to go see it.
There's a lot of stuff out right now.
There is a lot. And this one probably is not number one, but it's worth it to watch whenever it's on streaming or whatever. Or if you just want to go see a movie and you've seen everything.
Yeah.
It's worth the movie visit.
Like, there's been like stuff coming out like every week for like a month.
Dude, I know.
That I'm like, normally this is I like want
the,
to see that.
This is like the dry period typically, isn't it?
Like, nah, like March. January is like kind of like... They just put their shitters out.
Isn't that normally like February, March?
Sometimes February, but like January, it's like, that's like where you put your trash out.
Really? Okay.
Cause so like,
what else do you want to see?
Renfield, like, I guess. Renfield. There's like Air looks kind of cool.
Oh, Air does look good.
Cause I've been listening to like the Smartlist podcast and they advertise in every single episode. So I'm like, I should probably watch this.
Okay.
There's other stuff, but like when I look at it, I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see that too.
Yeah, it would totally make sense if Mario's not number one for you right now.
I guess like Mario 2 to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And then a part of me also wants to watch like things that maybe aren't the big blockbuster things like a Mario movie, you know?
No, I want intellectual property, things I recognize. I'm like, ooh, there's like a Blue Shell, you know, like, or there's Cranky Kong. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want some of that. Yeah. But no, there's definitely, or like people saying Dungeons and Dragons is good. You know, that's probably something
that,
to watch too.
And so I'd be willing to give that a shot. So yeah, quite a few things out.
That's fair.
And then I think this, by the time this comes out, like the new Ari Aster movie will be out.
Yeah,
but I was afraid. Really good. I heard it was like absolutely insane.
I want to see it in theaters with Sophia, but I don't want to be in the situation where she gets freaked out and has to leave, because I will not, you know.
Have you seen the other two?
Midsommar and Hereditary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to go see Beau Is Afraid?
I'd love to.
I'll go with you.
Yeah. Plus Joaquin Phoenix, that guy's fucked up.
Yeah, dude.
And Ari Aster's fucked.
Absolutely.
Like the only like director in some time to make me like watch a movie and need a chaser.
Right.
After Midsommar.
We'll go watch.
I need to watch Hot Rod. I need it like primed up like right after we watch Beau Is Afraid. We'll rent out a theater next to it and just have Hot Rod playing.
They have to like really go into the archives to try and find fucking Hot Rod and film. Shit.
And then I'll advertise to the other people leaving Beau Is Afraid, like, hey, if you need a chaser.
Yeah, everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
Only 25 people up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That seems like it'll be good though.
Sounds good. It's a date. And what are we reading next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
Now, apparently we're reading Guardians.
Yeah, which Guardians?
We said Star-Lord.
That's definitely the first thing that comes to mind.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
There's also Gamora and there's also Rocket.
Gamora is actually pretty sick. The mini?
The grounded, like, mini.
Is that what it's called?
I think, like, all of them were, like, on Earth or something, or on, like, a planet, and they couldn't leave, and so it's called, like, grounded. And so that's why there was, like, individual series of each one.
Oh.
And so Chip did the Star-Lord one with
Chris Anka. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Oh, it's Chris Anka.
Yeah.
We should probably just do that then.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
We'll get to Gamora maybe never, but
maybe never.
I remember liking it a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. I haven't read either of them. I think I might have read Rocket, but
I have all of Gamora, and that was when I was really healthy comic book reader, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Only had a few things in my need to read stack, you know.
Why didn't we read the last Guardians? Was it the holiday special?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's no other Guardians I'm particularly interested in. So,
like, I would give Bendis a shot. And I would give like Kate's a shot.
Kate's would be interesting enough for the first trade for sure.
Yeah.
I've read up to the first trade, so I know I like it.
Yeah. Or like the one with like Venom Space Knight.
Yeah.
Because it might be dumb, but I would have fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, Star-Lord by Chip Zdarsky and Chris Anka next week.
Excited for that one, actually.
Yeah. Read it. Like it. Love it. And be ready for next week.
And follow us and like it and subscribe.
Yeah.
We have a link tree.
It's everywhere.
Check out all the links.
If you're hearing this or listening to this or watching this, the link is near in the description probably.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening.
If you want to give us recommendations, we have an email, traderspod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Tell us which Guardians you like better.
Should we
talk about that officially like next week? How Guardians 2 is officially better than Guardians 1?
Maybe we should talk about it after the third one, and then we can rank all of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because what if 3 is better than 1 and 2?
That's possible. I don't think it...
That'd be tough.
I'm trying to level my expectations to think that it like won't be.
There's not enough for me to have expectations so far. It's just hoping that like James Gunn doesn't shit the bed.
Yeah. That's mainly what I'm hoping for. But yeah, I'm gonna like watch both of them. I'm gonna write pros and cons for each one and like definitively.
You're gonna
like,
rewatch both.
I'm gonna rewatch.
Okay.
Whenever we have this debate that I'm so clearly right about.
I think that's gotta, it could probably be like its own episode even.
We could make it its own episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Bonus episode.
Yeah. All right. Look out for that. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks. Bye.